we're going to have an interesting show today. We're going to have going to be talking about Richard Gage, and I have a couple of guests. I have Andrew Johnson. Are you there from the UK?
I'm here.
Well, Andrew Johnson is a software engineer in the UK, and we're going to have a couple of people on today that have known Richard Gage and have been involved directly in his organization of the Architects and Engineers. And if you want to go ahead, is the first person that you know, is he available now?
Well, he's I don't think they've added him to the conversation yet, so I'm just going to try and add him to the actual text chat, but I'll have to call him up to...
Oh, it looks like Andy's on now.
Yeah.
Are you there, Andy?
Hello?
Oh, Andy's here. Great. Fantastic. Oh,
you can hear me?
I can hear you. We can all hear you.
Go on ahead, Andrew.
Okay, yes. Well, thanks, Ralph, for the introduction. I'll just clarify one thing slightly. I do mainly do student assessments now with a bit of software engineering in the background, so... I've sort of switched my job slightly, but yes, to introduce Andy tonight, Andy was somebody I met at a talk I gave earlier this year, and he recently contacted me because he'd sort of signed the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth petition. I'm sure he'll fill us in on the details of that, but basically he'd become interested in Dr. Wood's research some time ago. And he'd got a copy of the book, Where Did the Towers Go? And he'd started to read that. And we spoke about this at the talk that he attended. And Andy still sort of will, I think, will tell you, he's not totally convinced by everything, but he knew that something slightly odd was going on, I think. And basically, about a week ago or so, he wrote to me and said that. He posted some information on his Architects and Engineers profile about Dr. Wood's research, and then these sort of comments that he'd added to his profile were then deleted, and he sent me some screenshots. So perhaps Andy could introduce himself now and sort of tell us a bit more of the story, please, Andy.
Well, thank you, Andrew. Sorry, it is Ralph I'm speaking to, is it?
Yes, it's Ralph. Well, welcome to my show, Andy.
It came up on my screen as somebody else, Frank somebody, so I was a bit confused for a second. But
That's all right.
Right, okay. Do you want me to just do a bit of a brief thing about how I sort of got into the 9/11 stuff in the first place?
By all means, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know what you think of these novels, but basically I've just read all the Dan Brown ones, so conspiracy stuff, you know, and it sort of got me thinking a different way about stuff. And then on the back of that, somebody gave me a copy of Loose Change 2, the Dylan Avery movie, which I found interesting. So I watched that. I couldn't take it all in to start with, but I watched it a couple of times, and it sort of grew on me, you know. So I started to look at things on YouTube and that. And then to cut a sort of big chunk out of it, basically, I ended up on the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth site, because... to me, you know, it's sort of that theory with the thermite blowing it up, if it's sort of... Sorry, I've not been on the radio before.
All right. You're doing well.
That sort of looked... It was more in the public domain, and it was pushed more, and it looked... You know, you've heard of explosives bringing buildings down, and you've got all these 1,500 and something... Yeah, credible people that have got qualifications. So it sort of lends credence to it. So I thought, oh, great, you know, there's actually something going on. You know, there's actually a lot of people that are actually qualified people that I can point to and go, well, look, you know, you say nobody believes anything conspiracy-wise. Well, there's all these bloody architects and engineers, you know. So I put my name to it. And then I started getting their emails, as they do, the newsletter. I'll read it briefly sometimes as well. And then, so that was about probably a year and a half ago. And then since that time, I then, because I always watch Ed's Media in the UK, when Theo Chalmers was doing it.
Yeah, this is a UK fringe TV channel that we get only a only, you know, available in on certain TV services. But yeah, it's one of these things that covers 9/11 and chemtrails and this sort of thing. But yeah, carry on, Andy. Sorry.
Yeah. Basically, so I basically sort of look forward to that every week. I sort of turn the main TV off pretty much. But I watched various shows about people talking about 9/11, and then there was I remember when you and Judy were on it the first time, I think last year.
That's right.
It actually was cancelled a few times, wasn't it? Because
we had one abortive thing because we couldn't get John Hutchison on it. They messed up. Well, then actually they could get John Hutchison on, but they messed up the Skype link up, so we couldn't get that going.
Right, because I remember I was looking for, because it said, oh, I've never heard of it before, directed energy weapons. I thought, oh, that's a new one, right? I'll have a look at that. And then it wasn't on that week. And then I think it was like a couple of weeks later you actually came on. So I watched that with interest. And that was the first time I saw the spoiler. Not collapsing, sorry, you don't want me to use that term there. Dusty fine.
Right.
And I wasn't quite sure what to make of it at the time, because I'll be honest, a lot of them are sort of very sort of low quality things. It's sort of hard to discern whether something's fell or something is being destroyed in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I carried on looking at it, and then to move it along a bit, this year I think it was, I believe you were on Rich Planet Starship this year, weren't you, Andrew?
I've been on a couple of times. Another Reg TV show.
Sorry, that's when I watched that and you introduced the book, and I thought, you know what, I want a copy of that. So I was pretty much sold, if you forgive the merchandising pun. But I wanted to read that for a bit more detail, in depth. I was interested to hear about the fact that you'd actually put a court case through. I didn't know at that time that no one else had. You know, I thought, well, maybe lots of people have put a court thing through, you know, or whatever. That's the impression you tend to get, isn't it, that people
are
following these things. Yeah, so I got the book pretty quick after that show, and I read it pretty quick to myself, and I think it's a very good book. It's a very easy read. There's only a couple of pages where I sort of got lost with all the sort of physics calculations or whatever and stuff, so I just took the main result of them. I read the book, and I then lent it to someone at work, hoping that they'd read it. Unfortunately, they couldn't really swallow it enough to read it at the time, because I think it was a bit too much for them. Probably a bit too Star Trek for them, if you forgive the pun. But so while they got that book, that's when I noticed that you were actually doing a talk in Leicester.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'll go down to that, because not only was it in Leicester, it was actually on my birthday as well.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So I spent my birthday listening to your talk. There's a plug for you.
But,
I came along to that.
We had a sort of chat afterwards, and talked about various things.
So I think one of the things I remember ascertaining from you was that I was trying to figure out exactly how this weapon was supposed to have worked, and I think I said something like, so you've got one field surrounding the area where the towers were, and then something else is interfering with it.
Right.
So that's what keys it into that area. Because what I couldn't understand to start with was how you would sort of blast something through other things, you know.
Without
damaging everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say, unfortunately, I didn't have the book to sort of reference, you know. But when I got it back again, I started really going over the chapters again, and I've got a lot more detail since then. Like anything, I suppose, when you go over it more, it makes more sense. Right. So I saw you in Leicester. And I told you at the time that I was thinking of actually, because I'd heard you on your show mentioning about, I think it was Abraham Rodriguez, wasn't it, that had his thing deleted after he'd changed it. So I thought, well, that's interesting. And I didn't know. I'll be frank with you. Yeah, I didn't know at the time which side to believe, because you know that was quite a wild claim. So I thought the only way I can sort of authenticate that, really, is to try and replicate it myself, being as I'm on the site. So, Yeah, that's what I did recently. As you know, I sent you the emails, and I thought, yeah, I'll have to take some screenshots just to prove that I have altered all these things. So although it looks a bit sort of sneaky, there's no other way I could have done it, you know, because nobody would have believed me that that's what I had on there originally.
Mm.
And I put on, I haven't got the photos up, but I basically put stuff like, I've read Judy Wood's book, and she throws up some interesting anomalies that I don't believe you've addressed, like the I call it the slicing off the cake type thing to building four, actually. I found that more interesting since I got the book back, because I sort of didn't really notice that so much the first time I read it. But yeah, that's interesting, where you can still see the floor and there's no sort of bits falling on the ground around it. So I've left a bit out. I actually emailed them first just to give them a chance to reply to the damage to building four, because I couldn't find a reference to it on their site.
Well, so I've got your screen up, Andy, and that you sent me. Yeah. I'll read it. I'll read out. Yeah. I've been a petitioner on your site for about a year, so this is Andy speaking. I've been reading Dr. Judy Wood's book, Where Did the Towers Go?, and came across some puzzling information regarding the destruction of World Trade Center 4. Picture in her book shows that most of the building has been sliced off like a piece of cake, but there seems to be no debris either around the outside of the building's perimeter or on the floor. In fact, the floor looks intact to me.
Hold that right there. We'll come right back.
That's
just a minute. Got to go to break. Okay, we're back from break here, and got Andy on, and Andrew Johnson from the UK, and I will update my court cases at the beginning of next hour, because we're in for the long haul. It's sink or swim or win or lose. So anyway, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, well, we're just reading out the email that Andy Roseby sent to the architects and engineers, basically through a web form inquiring about the evidence regarding World Trade Center 4. So Andy was going to sort of tell the rest of that story.
Okay, yes. I thought I'd give them a chance to reply about to see what their take was on Building 4, because I couldn't really see how they could sort of explain it away with stuff falling on it. So I sent them that web form request, and I gave it probably like at least 5 days or something for them to reply to me about it, and then nothing was forthcoming. And I thought, well, while I'm waiting for that, I'm going to alter my profile just to basically test them that way as well. Because, like I say, at the time, I didn't know how true it was that you... Because I've not sort of met you much before, Andrew.
Right.
And so I didn't know whether you were sort of spinning something to make it look better, you know. So the only way I can do that is to try it myself. So I then proceeded to add the comments that I did to my profile, which I believe you've probably got the screenshots on as well with the detail.
Yeah.
But I basically mentioned things like, you know, there's some interesting anomalies mentioned in Judy's book, like the flipped cars, Hurricane Erin parked off the coast. But I've got to be honest, I really didn't know about that at all. That's been kept so secret, that has.
Mm-hmm.
And it is
mm-hmm.
rather intriguing that there's an absolutely massive hurricane off the coast of 9/11. And like it's been mentioned about the people from the astronauts from the International Space Station?
Yes.
They were commenting on the attack, which is like probably a tiny whisper next to this massive hurricane, and then not saying, oh, yeah, it must be happening right next to that massive hurricane.
Yeah.
So things like that were interesting. So I put all those comments on there, and then I sent it off, and it then told me that it would be at least 24 hours for verification. So all I could do really was sort of... And during that time, the profile would be down. And then, sure enough, I logged onto it the next day, which turned out to be our bonfire night celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Fawkes night.
Yeah,
I logged on there, and straight away, they'd edited everything out, and they'd left it as... I think Building 7's got a classic demolition crimp and no planes hit it or something like that, which is basically what I had on before.
Mm-hmm.
So that to me at least proved that they were willing to eradicate, if that's the right word, all evidence of what I'd written about Judy Wood's book.
Right.
Because I'd also watched a video of Abe that you're going to play the recording of later, that when he confronted Richard Gage and asked him about why he's been deleted from his site, and he sort of gave his explanations as, oh, well, we don't entertain anything from Judy Wood, you know, and we reserve the right to wipe it off the face of our website, basically.
That's it in a nutshell, really.
I mean, so it's at least proved that they're willing to keep it out of the you know, their little corner sort of thing.
So what you did is you emailed the A&E 911 Truth Richard Gage's group and brought to their attention about Dr. Judy Wood, and the next thing you know, you're gone off their list, right?
I emailed them regarding specifically the damage to World Trade Center 4, because I wanted to hear their explanation for it, and I didn't get any reply. And in fact, I've still not had any reply.
I mean, you weren't deleted from the list, were you? They just deleted the comments. This is what happened to Scott Krajewski. What happened to you? You know, it was exactly the same as what happened to Scott Krajewski, because he put comments on his profile. They read it. They didn't delete him off the list. That happened to Abe. Abe was deleted off the list.
Okay.
So they seem to have mellowed out between Abe and Scott, and they've now, you know, done the same with Andy here. And obviously at this point, I'd like to thank Andy very much for spending his time with us tonight, because he's got to get up early in the morning, and it's 8:30 at night here. So I did mean to say that in the introduction. I'd just like to thank Andy very much for coming forward with this information and actually taking the trouble to sit up late with us. And
I'm running on adrenaline at the minute.
Absolutely. So thanks very much for that. I mean, you know, I think we're seeing a pattern here, and I've tried to document this on my website, and it's not something I like doing. You know, we don't want to act as kind of policemen of some kind for these groups, but unfortunately, it seems like the truth doesn't need a movement, but a cover-up does, as a person we know has said to us. But have you any other sort of additional thoughts, Andy? I don't want to talk all over this, and, you know, some things.
I mean, I've sort of written I've basically used the whiteboard we've got to write down stuff so I can remember it. And I've written a sort of list of what I consider sort of pros and cons with this sort of this research at the minute. So I could just sort of rattle off a few things that I think are sorted and ones up.
Let me interrupt here. First of all, what they're doing is they're not letting the information get out on their list. Is that what they're not doing when you try to post something?
Yeah, it sort of looks like, they don't want any mention of it on their site.
Okay, hold on a minute here. We got to go to break. Back in just a second again. Okay, we're back from break here. We got Andy and Andrew. Andy is in the UK somewhere. He's definitely not in South Carolina with an accent like that. So go ahead there, Andrew, Andy, and then we'll get to Scott here. He's waiting to get on here.
Right, yeah. If we just quickly mention that the information that Andy's given me is all on my website, checktheevidence.com. If you go over to the right-hand side, recent postings, you'll find the posting about the information Andy's given us. I think he just wanted to summarise something that he wanted to say, you know, because he's still working this out for himself. So I want him to just, you know, give us a very quick summary before we bring Scott on, because we've got Scott waiting to come on. So if Andy just, we wanted to say something before the break, so please, if you could carry on, Andy.
I'll try and keep it brief then. The more I read of it, the more I'm sort of, you know, buying into it, basically. Especially the more I watch of the actual destruction, especially when you've got the large chunks streaming matter, basically, upwards.
Mm.
That doesn't look right to me if it was just sort of collapsed or, you know, especially when it's outside of the sort of... There's large chunks of log, the Wechexes, I think you call them, don't they? They're sort of clearly outside of the main rubble of destruction, yet they're streaming a load of stuff as they're falling. Whether you can actually see them disintegrating away, I know that's probably not quite the right term you don't want to use, but that's the only way I can describe it. But yeah, there's actually enough, because they tend to all fall, unfortunately, just into like the cloud below. So just as you're hoping that they'll be reduced in size or whatever. So it's a bit annoying that way. But, yeah, it does look like they're sort of streaming away particles off of them unnaturally. Yeah.
Okay, and if I were to summarize that, what they've done to you, you signed up for Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. That's A&E911truth.org.
Yes.
And you've tried asking questions, and it goes to basically a censoring thing. It doesn't hit the main list, and there's no answer there. You've tried the other means to get to any of the other list members through your profile, and that's been changed and censored, so that nobody can be exposed to Dr. Judy Wood or mentioning or talking about her evidence. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Ralph.
Yeah. Okay, great. Anything else before we go? Before you go?
Yeah, no, not really. I'll say I'm probably only going to be on for about another... I'll probably listen for about another 5 minutes or so, and then I'm going to have to hit the sack.
Okay, Andy, well, I want to thank you for coming on and sharing this with the people.
Yeah,
understand that 911 seems like a dictatorial-type situation, and the truth is not relevant. And I thank you for taking the time to come on our show.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Thank you for inviting me on as well, the both of you. Cheers.
You're welcome. Okay. Thanks very much, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, why don't we, Andrew, why don't you go ahead and introduce our next guest? We've got another person that's part of the 911 Truth Movement. Let's go ahead.
Hello.
All right. I guess we lost Andrew for just a second here. We're
I'm back now.
Those people at Langley, you got to watch those people at Langley. They get to messing with the knobs over there. And are you there, Andrew?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Go ahead and introduce Scott, if you would, please. He's waiting there, and we'll continue on with somebody else that has an experience with Richard Gage's group.
Okay, yes. Well, I'd like to thank Scott very much for calling in. Perhaps he'll tell us, I don't know whether he's going to tell us where he is, but again, he's been contacted at very short notice and agreed to come on and speak with us. So again, great appreciation for that. And Scott contacted me a few months ago with regard to his Architects and Engineers profile, and he similar, almost identical to what Andy was describing. He'd discovered the research of Dr. Judy Wood after some period of time, decided to put some comments on his Architects and Engineers profile, and I understand that those comments were also deleted, and I think Scott can then, well, Scott can describe the story, how he became involved, whatever he wants to describe, and describe what he did after the profile had been edited. So welcome, Scott.
Aloha, everybody. Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity. I really appreciate it. So hello to Ralph, Andrew, and also to Andy.
Yeah, thanks for coming on my show. Scott, I heard you also maybe on Honeymoon.
That's correct, yes.
Oh, any man that'll take off from Honeymoon and come on my show has got to be a good guy.
That's why I love my wife, because she's the one that got me into all of this. And just we knew we couldn't miss it, and just really happy to be on the show. So thank you, Ralph, and thank you, Andrew.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us your experiences with the Richard Gage group.
Yeah, basically, it's probably towards the beginning of the year, probably around February, March time frame. This was after I had read and been exposed to Dr. Judy Wood's work, first through the Veritas show and then by reading her book. And then I eventually found out about Architects and Engineers, and being an engineer, I work at the Boeing Company in Research and Development. I thought, wow, this is a group for me. And I read their website and felt like, okay, it sounds like they're open. And so I went ahead and signed up and filled out my bio. And in my bio, I highlighted Dr. Wood's work and just expressed how excited I was and how much I felt she did an excellent job investigating forensic aspect of what happened on that day. And then submitted the profile, didn't think anything of it until I got an email while I was on business travel in Japan. And they were asking, can you please contact us immediately? We need to interview you before we accept you on our site. I was like, okay, well, I'll take care of this later. And while I was still traveling, they contacted me three times. So I'm like, all right, I need to give them a call and find out what's going on. So I told them I was on travel. I didn't want to talk yet. And so they scheduled an interview with me. It was a gal. I forgot her name. But when I got home later, she interviewed me. It was very quick. They just wanted to know where I had gotten my engineering degree, what my job was, what I did for my job, and then she proceeded to explain, oh, by the way, your comments about Dr. Judy Wood, we will have to delete those from your profile. And it really surprised me, and of course I asked, well, why would you need to do this? And she was very apologetic and said, you know, I personally believe in Dr. Judy Wood's work, but our policy at AE 911 Truth is that we can't, we don't want anybody's, even though it's on your bio, to have anybody else's work that we can't substantiate or support on the bio. So at the time, honestly, I said, well, okay, fine. I'll let that go. And then I think it took them about a month to get my profile up, and then I read it, and sure enough, they had deleted every single comment I had made about Dr. Woods' work. And the more I sat with it, I started to get pretty angry. And so one day I just emailed them and said, you know, I really can't support your work because of your stance, especially after reading some of the words Mr. Gage had made directly to or about Dr. Wood. And after reading their website, it just didn't make sense because they said they were all about the truth, all about scientific evidence, approaching it like an engineer, like a scientist. And I really felt strongly that they were being hypocritical. And so I sent them an email, explained to them how I felt and that I wanted to be removed from the site. And then literally within a day, Brian Romanoff from AE911 emailed me back, said, we're sorry, but we just don't support Dr. Wood at all. And here's why, and just sent a link to one of the articles on their website that, in their mind, I guess, summarized why they don't believe in the, and this is a quote from them, the junk science of Dr. Judy Wood. And that's really basically my story of how my interaction with AE911.
Wow.
Have you tried to change your profile or anymore or not?
No, I actually asked to be removed from their site and from the petition because of their stance.
So would I be overstating the fact that Richard Gage and that group is not interested in examining all the evidence and putting it to the test in a group, in a especially in a discussion group of especially engineers?
Yes, I think you're 100% accurate. It was really surprising. I was really disappointed. But again, having, you know, because I work with engineers, I just know that engineers, once they get their mind set on something, it's so hard to convince them to be more open. They're very emotional people, and they can be extremely closed-minded. So on one hand, I was surprised. On the other, I wasn't. But, yes, I was definitely disappointed with their approach.
Mm-hmm. So have you read Dr. Judy Wood's book yet or checked her webpage out or?
Oh, yes. I think I've read her book about three times right now. And, you know, I consider it to be a textbook, and I've emailed Dr. Judy Wood and just thanked her because I really feel like she's developed a textbook that really is teaching people how to think, how to become more open-minded and think for themselves, and also presents excellent forensic evidence, in my opinion.
And have you found anything in the book yourself that of the evidence that you would tend not to that could be debunked?
There's still some things that I'm still not exactly sure about. I know that folks talk about, especially the heat that was measured on the site versus, although I do believe Dr. Wood has mentioned that, yes, there was probably molten metal on the site. I think people probably take her words and just tend to over-exaggerate. I think especially the AE911 folks are saying that she has said there has been no molten metal on the site. And that's one of the reasons why they debunk her. But from my perspective, the evidence that she's proposed and having investigated the work of John Hutchinson and understanding a little bit about microwave technology, to me, this is a very plausible explanation, especially for someone that, you know, I've been manufacturing airplanes for a while. I just cannot believe two airplanes brought down buildings of that magnitude, and then let alone Building 7 and caused all that damage. And in my opinion, the work that she has done, the forensic evidence that she has brought forth, explains everything rather than just, again, like demolition to me, like, well, yeah, maybe that could be part of it, but it doesn't explain everything. I think Dr. Woods' evidence is all-encompassing.
Well, I think so, too, and the thing that I've confronted Richard Gage and that group was the molten metal on the ground, because you know what? I can look at a volcano, and it may be go up, and I can give the perception that it is molten metal. Okay, we can give the perception that it might be molten metal. But, you know, Mother Earth is down there, and at some point it's going to have to hit. And
exactly.
At some point it's going to solidify and make a puddle, a pool. And you know what's missing? The puddles in the pool of the molten metal. So, therefore, something else is going on. That's the key. That's the thing that has really bothered me about Richard Gage and his group. They like to concentrate on Building 7. They say, well, it gives the appearance of a controlled demolition. Okay, great. Appearances are fine. I've been to magic shows. I think rabbits come out of hats, too. But then you go for the empirical evidence of the seismic recording that must exist. It is absolutely conclusive type science about seismic recording. They have to exist for Building 7, and they don't. So,
absolutely.
Therefore, obviously, then your appearance of the rabbit coming out of the hat is nonsense, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's why the evidence for dustification to me is so strong, especially hearing novices actually say, you know, to me it looked like the building went to dust. There's no other way to explain that with demolition. Demolition does create some dust, yes, but it also leaves behind a lot of solid material, which we did not see on that day.
Well, about 800,000 tons of material that's missing on buildings just in WTC 1 and 2. Where is the rubble?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think going back to the molten metal, you know, everything that glows is not hot, you know, and that quotation that Dr. Judy uses, you know, so... There could have been molten metal, but it wasn't necessarily hot. And indeed, this is the process that John Hutchison has kind of discovered, that he can make things melt, but he doesn't. When he touches them a few minutes later, they're not hot. These are the things that you've got to look at carefully. So.
Yeah, well, I think what she's always saying, everything that's hot glows, but not everything that glows is hot.
Right. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but the bottom line is there's going to be puddles at the bottom. There's not going to be people walking around, which she has addressed in great detail in her book, where they're saying, oh, there's molten metal. Well, there's people, there's firemen standing there, and there's water there. You know, water on molten metal does not work well. I've seen it go into off of the Hawaii, the lava goes in. You know what? It makes one heck of a thing, because water expands, I don't know, 1,600 times or something like that when it turns to steam. And you're not going to have water sitting on molten metal. It's not going to happen.
Right. I think just to sort of go back to Scott's story, if people want to read some of the details that he sent me, again, they're on my website, checktheevidence.com, and I've linked it from the bottom of Andy's article that I posted earlier. And then also, of course, we have Abraham Hafiz Rodriguez's story as well, to link in with Scott's and Andy's, which is, you know... I've sort of called this a kind of scientific test. I mean, it's not really a scientific test, but the results of these tests on architects and engineers for 9/11 truth seem to be repeatable. The test is that you try and send them or give them information about Dr. Judy Wood's research and the evidence that she's compiled and the points that she's raised. And with these three people, without exception, they're actually, architects and engineers are actually seemingly actively censoring this information and trying to limit how many people are exposed to it, as we were discussing earlier. I don't know if you've got any thoughts to add to that, Scott.
Yeah, I think that's what's the most troublesome to me, is especially when people aren't walking their talk. You know, they basically have the words on their site that says that's what they're all about, and they're clearly not doing that at all. And, in fact, if they're censoring someone like Dr. Wood in her work, to me, it signifies that there's a problem or that there's another agenda going on within that organization.
And the agenda is not seeking the truth.
Exactly. Yep.
Are there any engineers that you associate with that have any opinions one way or the other or interest in this? Or?
It's been really interesting because, I've fairly new to a lot of this in the last couple of years, and I've been very hesitant to talk about it. I talk about it more at work. I find that actually my engineering colleagues, are extremely, you know, they're just bought into the story. And as soon as I start talking about it, you know, I can see the eye roll. I know that I'm being labeled and judged, and so I'll just kind of just speak my piece and then walk away. I've actually found that the workers in the shop and the factory actually are more open-minded, which surprised me, and a lot of them are going, you know, I really don't buy that story either, and that's interesting. Can you tell me more? And that's what's been surprising to me.
That is amazing. You would think that people that have a degree are a little more into critical thinking, but from my experience with some of this is that the people that should be have more of a critical thinking have more of a closed mind when they see this stuff.
Yep, more often than not, I think that's the case.
Well, we're going to break. I'll be back in just a minute, and we'll give you the chance to close anything else you want to say. Scott, hold on just a minute. Got to go pay some bills. We're back online here, and we got Dr. Judy Wood. She just joined us, got a PhD and all sorts of material analysis and stuff, and we'll be talking with her next hour. But, Scott, you want to go ahead and got anything else you want to close out here? You got a couple of minutes?
Sure. I'll just say one thing real quickly, and that's I think the greatest lesson I learned, we're just kind of joking that, oh, yeah, Scott works at Boeing, because I definitely know the reputation of this company and the power level that it plays in the world. But out of that company, there are some pretty cool things coming out of there, and one of them is we've actually hired a lot of Japanese consultants, especially from Toyota. And the one thing that they revel in, they love to do, is they identify what they call the concrete head in the room, and that's the most closed-minded, most difficult person, typically an engineer, and they love to just work on them and convert them over into, you know, their kind of their way of thinking, which is the lean way. And it's been really wonderful to see when they actually make a breakthrough. You know, the person that was 100% against them is 1,000 times now their supporter. And my belief is that the work that you all are doing, which I applaud you, and especially the work of Dr. Wood, the more we put this out there and keep talking about it, keep putting the evidence out there, the more concrete heads will be converted, and pretty soon it's like that 100th monkey scenario. And all of a sudden one day, probably, you know, Dr. Wood's textbook will be looked at as like, oh, yeah, that's no-brainer. Sure, of course, that's what, you know, happened on 9/11. And I just keep looking forward for when that day happens.
Well, I think it will, too. You know, it's reached definitely a much higher level of acceptance than it has before. And, of course, people like Richard Gage and some of these other nefarious deed people, you know, they're here for a little while, and pretty soon the people find them out, you know, and then they got to come up with another one, or at some point they're going to totally lose, and people won't even know who were those people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And what's even more amazing is some of the stuff they're putting out is so defies any logic, and it's just total nonsense. And we're going to have a clip here next hour. We're going to have Abraham Rodriguez is going to have some clips from him. And he's got some great insight because he's actually confronted Mr. Richard Gage. And we'll see what his opinion is, firsthand knowledge of talking to the man. So anything else before you go, Scott? Well, thanks for coming off your honeymoon and coming on the show, Scott.
Thank you all so much. Thank you very, very much.
And keep pounding on those engineers over there and see if you can't get them on our side.
Definitely. Thanks to all of us. Yes, thank you.
Okay. That was Scott, works at Boeing. And I know Boeing builds good airplanes, but one thing they didn't do, which, of course, we're not really going to get into that, but they don't build airplanes that can go right in through steel girders and chop them off and do all those sorts of magical things. That's another one of those little stories that's going on around out there. They make darn good airplanes, but they're not that good. They're out of aluminum and a lot of other stuff. So, anyway, we're just about done here, I think. Anybody got it? Andrew, you got any comments before we head into the next hour?
It's a pretty consistent pattern, and I think, as you said, you're going to play some of the clips from Abe. And we'll hear that pattern repeated, I think, again. So I think, you know, this sort of leads you into another area, which I've tried to document more fully in my free ebook, 9/11 Finding the Truth, And, you know, people can read that for more information.
Okay, we'll be back next hour. Stay tuned. Well, we're back here. This is Ralph Kermit Winterroad II with the Ralph Winterroad Show. We've been talking to Andrew Johnson out of the UK, and we've been joined by Dr. Judy Woods. She's online with us now. We've had two other people that have had first-hand knowledge, Andy and Scott, with the Richard Gage's Architects and Engineers group. And their experience so far has been that Dr. Judy Wood will not be in the profile, and you can send an email, and it's going to get screened. They don't want anybody over there talking about Dr. Judy Wood. It's a nasty word. Evidence is nasty with 911. And we're going to get into Abe Rodriguez here, but I wanted to do an update. I see where people are wanting to know what's going on with the cases. As of Monday, there will be a clerk's deed issued by the Matsu Borough, and I will, quote, no longer own my land. That's what they think, anyway. We filed in, or I filed in, a homestead exemption, and the documentation of 4 weeks that I put in, and I sent a certified delivery to Matsu. If you think you got any interest in my land, come on down. I do have a perfect legal title, file, possession, right of property. That's already filed in to the court, or into the public record. So it's $12,700, so I got to raise that money at some point after next week here, or they're going to be doing a forced entry detainer, and they'll be booting me out. So we're going to have a fight to the battle. Dave Gladden's case, which already has a quiet title action in Dillingham, it looks like now not only it's coming up on 2 months and nobody's talking over there, we've got them definitely cornered. There's no doubt about it. Dillingham was not a viable second-class city. It looks we're getting the evidence. It was not even voted in to be a first-class city. The ordinance doesn't exist for any of the taxation for the property or the sales tax, but, you know, so what? We don't need any of that. Well, anyway, that's all and much more. That case is sitting there. Got the appellee brief in, where it's the first time the IRS stuff on the stuff that I talk about on my show about there are no regulations for assessment and that has hit the Ninth Circuit. I'll be publishing the appellee brief on that. And the other one that came down is my driver's license. They finally come out against that. I haven't read it yet. It just came in. Picked it up Friday, even though the post office wasn't open. Haven't read it. I've scanned it. And that'll be published to my special list. And we want to see what they're going to do because we've got some real important cases or a couple of tax cases right now sitting in tax court. And they don't want to talk about nothing. And this is really going to get interesting. All of this work that I've been doing and others, it's going to be load tested to the end. So we're going to find out if we have the right to own property in or land in America. We're going to find out if we have the right to travel. And conclusive evidence, IRS does not exist with any laws. We're going to find out. And the tax court is a great place to go and nail those guys. And so anyway, I have a special list for $120 donation, and I have an IRS list for $250. And anyway, that's the update on that. And when we get back, we're going to start on back on 911. Stay tuned. Okay, well, we're back from break here, and I just want to make one more comment before we start playing some of Abe Rodriguez's stuff. I read the tax case in D.C. where they say we're going to have health care. And if you read the appellee brief, which I'll be posting to my list, it's all covered under the guise of the IRS. You can do something under taxation that Congress cannot legislate out directly, and they even put it in writing. Doesn't anybody ever read this stuff? And it's only for taxpayers in the decision, and the courts cannot determine if you're a taxpayer. How can you have anything in this country that the court can't make a determination if you're a taxpayer or not? That's prohibited. They're standing. And it's IRS can do it by the district director. Of course, his office was abolished in 1998. Duh? Okay. Anyway, let's get on to Abe Rodriguez. He's a medical student here. And we'll start with some clips here. Let's start with clip number 148, if we could, please. Well, I have Abraham Rodriguez. Are you there?
on here.
Yeah, would you tell people briefly what you do?
Sure. Well, like you said, Ralph, my name is Abraham Rodriguez. I'm 25, and I basically was born in the Minnesota area and ended up moving to Iowa for a while because my dad got a job there as a pediatrician, and ended up moved back to Minnesota with my parents divorced, but long story short, I ended up in Iowa going to college. After studying biology at the University of Iowa, working towards a bachelor's of science degree there when all this was happening, and so I started to look into the evidence and skeptical by nature. But the first real scientific piece of information that I encountered was actually the full peer-reviewed thermite paper done by Dr. Jones and Niels Herrick and the other co-authors on that scientific paper. And I thought, oh my gosh, here is a scientific document that I can share with other scientists in my profession, and they'll want to know about this too. And so I kind of started to get involved with 8911 Truth. I signed a petition, joined the group, started donating money here and there when I could. You know, I'm in medical school now here at the University of Illinois College of Medicine in Peoria. And so it's a full-time thing, so I don't really have a job. I just am working on student loans. I was pretty convinced by that thermite paper that that was the answer. The more I looked into it, the more I started to realize that there is all this evidence that is not explained by thermite. And I thought, for how scientific these people are supposed to be, like Dr. Stephen Jones and Mr. Gage, et cetera, I found it very confusing, not really suspicious at the time, so I was a little naive, but confusing. These scientists were focused on such a limited set of the data and the available evidence. And
okay, Andrew, you want to make a comment? Because one of the big things he spent a lot of time on, I apologize for the quality. It's got an echo to it because I recorded it on Skype and I have my audio split and I should not have done that. So, Andrew, you got a comment about that CRAP paper, that scientific paper he's talking about there?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Abe sort of mirrored what happened to me, really, because I sort of took this paper that Stephen E. Jones had written to be a valid piece of work, you know, because he had a PhD and I didn't, basically. And so I was assuming these were legitimate sort of studies. And, you know, we've covered some of this ground before, and I think Abe has basically just, you know, ended up in the same situation, thinking that Scholars for 9/11 Truth and the Architects and Engineers Group were, you know, legitimate outfits that were trying to find the truth and were studying the evidence rather than just, you know, a few little bits of the evidence. They were willing to study all of it, and both Abe and myself found out independently that wasn't true.
That paper was a bunch of nonsense, wasn't it?
Essentially it was, yeah. I mean, again, it's like the official story of 9/11. On the face of it, it looks plausible, but you dig beneath the surface and you can see it just really starts to fall apart fairly quickly. And, you know, the same with the thermite story.
Okay, let's clip one. Oh, go ahead, Dr. White.
What it seems to be what they do is to not exactly state falsehoods, but mislead you into assuming that what they stated, which was a falsehood, is what they said. It's a magic trick kind of thing. Mm. Like that thermite paper, you know, I don't disagree with the conclusions. That is that in the dust were found traces of aluminum dust and traces of iron dust. After all, what was the building made out of and the building was turned to dust?
Aluminum and steel.
Right. Steel that was dissociated.
So they take the evidence and come to the, or some of the evidence, and come to the wrong conclusion deliberately. That's what it seems to be. And then, you know, they ignore the evidence, which is, you know, would basically contradict or prove that conclusion they'd stated or appeared to state was incorrect.
Right. Okay, let's do clip 149 here.
So Frank pointed me to Dr. Giroux's website, and I thought, okay, I need to check that out. This is another researcher, some more scientific information I can get my hands on. And that's when things just really started to come together for me, because there is just so much evidence out there that I started to realize that thermite doesn't explain, we've already discussed the amount of evidence on conditional, so I won't mention much, but, the thousands of cars that were split next to trees that had all their leaves on, and there was no major pieces of debris nearby that could have crushed the vehicles, and some of the paint, they just kind of melting off, yet the tires are completely inflated, not melted at all, and so many weird things, like the University of Alaska magnetometer data that showed the statistically significant deviation in your magnetosphere. All six stations in Alaska picked it up, and strangely, they perfectly coincided with the two planes hitting, the two pole planes hitting the towers, and the towers coming down. And so it took me weeks and weeks and weeks of thoroughly plowing through Dr. Wood's evidence and really being skeptical about it. And so I just came to the conclusion that there is nothing else that explains all this stuff except for directed energy weapons. And the first time I said that to myself, I kind of felt like I was going crazy. And so what I did was I spent another 2 to 3 weeks going back through all the evidence again, just trying to find holes in it. And really hoping to the test, I started going to the sources of information and going directly to the websites like the United States Geological Survey website, the USGS.gov, and University of Alaska's website, and verifying all that data that she had put on her website. And it was just unbelievable to see how it all just checks out and how it all just makes sense. And thermite barely explains any of this stuff.
Okay, we're going to go to 151 real quick. We're going to go out of order, and then we'll come back, and then we'll comment on those. Go ahead, 151.
When Mr. Gage came to Peoria, and I had the chance to ask him some questions that we talked about earlier, because of time and because he kept cutting me off, I ended up staying around till the very end of the show while he was packing up and asking him some more questions.
Uh-huh.
And it was then that I actually got to get a little more telling information from him. And he admitted to me on videotape that not only has he never studied the New York City seismographic data, yet he has a strong opinion about it. He admitted to me literally that he's not studied the seismographic data. And he also admitted to me that he knows that thermite cannot account for things like the 1,400 plus toasted cars that were found all around Ground Zero, some up to a fourth of a mile away. Literally, at the end of the show, when I was asking him these questions in part two of the video recordings I made, he admitted to that he knows thermite can explain all, it cannot explain all of the evidence, such as the toasted cars. And then I said, well, why don't you talk about it then? Why wouldn't you want people to know about this important stuff? And he said, because it doesn't get people motivated to ask for a new investigation. He said, I'm only trying to share evidence with people that will get them to demand a new investigation. And so in other words, he totally admitted that even though thermite does not explain all the evidence and that he's ignoring the evidence that thermite doesn't explain, he's completely okay with it because he just wants people to demand a new investigation. And that's very alarming to me because that's the opposite of what science is. And that is proof right there that it's not just a matter of him not knowing about evidence. He knows about it and he knows that thermite doesn't explain it. And he's admitted to this to me on videotape. Just go to my YouTube channel. And he's totally okay with being unscientific and being very biased. And that is very alarming to me.
So he's knowingly putting out false information.
Knowingly. And I think because I caught him off guard enough, I was actually able to get him to admit to it without him realizing that he probably should have kept his mouth shut.
Isn't that astounding? This is somebody who was right there. Anybody got a comment?
Yeah, I mean, what I'll say is that if people want to see that video that Abe is referring to that he made, I've linked it again in an article from my website, checktheevidence.com, and you can actually see Gage's reaction to what Abe said to him, and it's pretty extraordinary.
What I also like to add is Richard Gage.
Hold that thought. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. We'll be back, and we're gonna do more of Gage and his group of naysayers and nefarious little whatever's. Back in a minute. Okay, we're back from break here, and Dr. Judy Wood interrupted you. You were going to make a comment there about that last step.
Well, I was just also remembering when someone had confronted Richard Gage about why he ignores the seismic data, and his reply was something to the effect of, well, I don't know how to interpret seismic, you know, charts. They could mean one thing or the other, and I don't know how to read them, so, you know, we don't go there. And my question is, if he is a competent architect in San Francisco, and then he's got to know how to read a seismic chart. If he's a, maybe I should put it this way, if he's an architect in San Francisco and doesn't know how to read a seismic chart, we have something seriously wrong here in the competency department.
Oh, God, this makes Saturday Night Live look good.
It's just amazing how well he can dodge bullets like that. And if it corners him, it's not important to talk about.
Let's go ahead and play clips 153, 155, so we can try to get both those in here real quick before we run out of time.
Can I put any veracity, believability into Richard Gage, that is an architect and engineer, that supposedly, I think he comes out of San Francisco, but I'm not sure, with about earthquakes. Earthquakes most definitely is something that is engineered into buildings, and he doesn't look at the seismic recordings.
That's a good point. I guess I never really clicked with that in my head. I just kind of thought, wow, I can't believe he just admitted that he's never looked at such an important piece of data. But I guess it seems even more absurd now that we put it that way, because of all the pieces of data Richard Gage would be qualified and knowledgeable to analyze, it would be the seismographic data, because like you said, he's an architect. That's one of the major things they deal with, is earthquake stresses and making sure that the building can withstand those. So to have Richard Gage admit to me on recorded video at the end of his presentation in Peoria that he has not looked at the New York City seismographic data, that is very, very, very alarming to me. I'm very glad that you put it in that way, because I had never really thought about it like that before. That's a very good point, though.
Do you think Dr. Judy Wood is qualified to do an independent analysis like she did and publish in her book?
I would say very few people are, but Dr. Judy Wood is not only one of the few that is qualified, but she is absolutely the most qualified. And then there's also another type of engineering called material science engineering, and that's actually what Dr. Judy Wood's PhD is in. And so that type of engineering is all about materials, whether that be concrete, steel, aluminum, marble. They are very knowledgeable about the bonds between molecules that hold them together within a material. They're very knowledgeable about the type of energy that would be needed to break those apart or to transform a certain molecular structure into another one that would allow it to turn to dust or turn to a liquid or turn to whatever. And so her field of expertise is right in the most relevant field in order to analyze what caused these buildings to turn to dust. And so she is not only very qualified, she's the most qualified. And to put one more little, to put the cherry on the sundae of what we're currently talking about regarding her qualifications, her dissertation and one of her specialties of focus within her extremely important PhD in material science engineering, she has a sub-focus on energy interferometry, which means on studying the interference patterns and characteristics and properties of various energies. And so she is very familiar with how different types of energies interact and how they respond to each other and how they can create phenomena when combined. And so not only is she very versed in an area that's extremely relative to directed energy weapons, but she's also extremely familiar and well-trained in the field of talking about what it takes to turn concrete, marble, steel to dust while leaving paper, human skin, aluminum completely unburned and undone.
Well, with qualifications like that, why wouldn't somebody like Richard Gage be interested in talking to somebody called Dr. Judy Wood? Why is that?
I can't figure it out. Can you?
None of us can figure it out except by thinking that obviously he has a reason for not wanting this to be discussed. And there are a number of reasons one can come up with for that, but you know, again, that's where you have to, unless he actually tells you himself why he isn't going to look at the research of an engineer who's very highly qualified for his Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth group, then it becomes something other than Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, if you ask me. So
they are hunting the truth. They hadn't had to cover it up.
yeah, that's what it seems like.
Well, one of the things that I didn't get all of this in here is that Dr. Judy Wood is one of the very few in an elite group, very limited group in this whole country, that has actually all of the qualifications to do a complete independent forensic investigation. And if I knew somebody like that, and they had done it, and if I was putting out that I wanted to find the truth, who do you think I would call?
It's interesting that when Richard Gage has said to Abe about they want a new investigation.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Okay, we're back right here. And Dr. Judy Wood, you had a comment? Go ahead. I had to interrupt you there.
What were you talking about?
It was about the qualification for a new investigation that, you know.
I guess cover the size of one. Yeah, as Abe was pointing out, I'm qualified. I don't know if he got all the details quite right, but and also my dissertation was on the stresses in material interfaces when temperature changes. So yeah, that would be another interesting aspect of it. I used the experimental method to study that, but. You know, if Richard Gage is wanting a new investigation, he thinks that Dr. Wood will inhibit that if people knew about the truth. Instead, he wants to call for a new investigation. By calling for a new investigation, what he is doing is admitting that his group is not competent enough to carry one out themselves.
That's what it seems like to me as well.
Absolutely. And then he's got James Gorley, which is the attorney that did the Toronto hearing thing, and he says he's too busy and all that to file a QI-TAM case, and he's got all this evidence. He somehow couldn't get it filed into NIST, and now he can't file a court case, like either put it up or shut it up, Bubba.
And he wrote a hit piece on me that often gets quoted as, you know, debunking Judy Woods. But he, you know, they incorrectly spell my name, but... He debunked laser beams from space, which is not what I present. I present evidence. And I don't present any evidence that indicates that laser beams from space were involved. And I don't use that terminology. So when people say that James Gorley has debunked me, no, he's debunked a false story, that a disinformation story that he's made up.
Right.
Okay, let's go ahead and play the last clip, but we're not going to get time to play all the clips here because he's got a lot of information. Let's go ahead and play the last clip there. Clip 154, please.
You have met Richard Gage personally. Do I believe Richard Gage? Will he answer the questions and the summation of the things that you had asked that he had admitted to that he knows are not true? Could you do a summation for a 3-4 minute summation on Richard Gage? Architect engineer.
Sure. I started off thinking that Richard Gage is a very cool person and that I'm so glad that he's looking into this topic. But the more and more I have interacted with him, the first time being when I emailed him the evidence that Dr. Judy Wood has discovered to see what he thought about it and to see if he had heard about it before. You know, and then I got banned from his petition for that. That kind of whittled away at my trust in him and said, hey, you know, maybe this guy isn't as innocent as you think. And so I still kept my doubts about him separate, and I continued to support a little bit, and I was still kind of confused. And it really came full circle and became very clear to me as to what Mr. Gage's motives are, in my opinion, when I encountered him in Peoria. Because to see him not only lie, not only to my face, but to the entire faces of the faces of the entire audience that were there that day and tell them that he didn't ban me, but he actually censored my account. and that it was because I had posted confusing information in my Easy 9/11 Truth profile, when in reality the truth was that I had actually just sent him an email, but not posted things in my profile. Seeing him lie to innocent public people that were there to support him was just, it really made it clear. That was the first time I feel like where I could say with 100% certainty that this man is not interested in the truth. And I'm not, you know, I would be a conspiracy theorist if I gave theory as to why I think that is, but the only real conclusion I can draw as to why this person would be being such a dishonest, lie-spreading individual regarding such an important topic such as 9/11 is that he must not be interested in the truth, you know? Who knows why that is? Maybe he has a boss that doesn't want him to be interested in the truth and wants him to spread bad information. Or maybe he wants to do it for himself, or who knows what he's protecting, or if he's protecting anything. But I've seen him personally be dishonest. I have it recorded on videotape now. And so I really have no respect for the individual anymore, because it went from me thinking that maybe he just wasn't the best scientist and maybe he wasn't aware of all the evidence. It went from me thinking that to me realizing that he is purposely ignoring evidence, he's purposely spreading lies and rumors, and he's purposely trying to convince people not to look at the evidence Dr. Judy Withers gathered. And that's a little concerning to me. That's a very concerning to me.
So the bottom line is he's not to believe, and he's knowingly spreading disinformation, information he knows not to be true, information that he knows cannot explain all of the things that's going on, and yet he's doing it.
Exactly. And that's dishonest. And it doesn't matter if you're a scientist or a librarian. If you're going to lie to people to their face and claim that you're trying to help the world while spreading lies and spreading rumors, like, that is not a very respectful thing to do, and I am very concerned.
Well, so, what he has done is he has dishonored his trade and dishonored his standing, because if he knowingly has admitted to you, and you've got it recorded, that he is putting out information that can't even begin to explain even a small smidgen of the important evidence.
One other thing to mention is if people ever, you know, if anyone wants to investigate me and see why I support Judy Woodard, or if they want to see the videos of when I got to confront Mr. Gage when he came here to Peoria, Illinois, my YouTube channel is just youtube.com/Pooksta, and Pooksta is spelled P-O-O-K-V-T-A, and it's on there. It's titled Abraham Davis Rodriguez Questions Richard Gage at AE 9/11 Truth Presentation. It was in April of...
Well, there it is, from somebody that's met him, and there was much more, but there are some clips that he's confronted Richard Gage. He's admitted to him. He is putting out misinformation. He knows his quote, theories, his nonsense, cannot even begin to touch what really happened. And yet people are going out there, and look what he's doing to what Dr. Judy Wood and Andrew Johnson putting out the actual truth of what's going on in WhereDidTheTowersGo.com is Dr. Judy Wood's book, the only complete forensic investigation out there by somebody that is extremely qualified. Any comments?
Yeah, as you know, folks often ask me, how do you know who's spreading disinformation? And disinformation is stuff that someone knows is not true. Well, If someone claims that Judy Wood talks about space beams or ray beams from space or laser beams from space, and they have not heard that from me, they are knowingly putting out false information, because I've never said that. So, you know, they couldn't have heard me say it if I've never said it. So the short of that is anyone who is claiming that I put out, or promote ray beams from space or laser beams from space or space beams or whatever, that right there identifies them very clearly as promoting disinformation.
I think that's true.
Where's your webpage, Dr. Judy Wood? What should they go to get the information and purchase the book?
DrJudyWood.com. That's DrJudyWood.com. At the top, that's the link to the book site, or you can go directly to the book site at WhereDidTheTowersGo.com. It's difficult to type because there's no spaces in there. It's just wheredidthetowersgo.com, because that's the biggest question. You know, the building went away.
Okay, Andrew Johnson, you have a website and you have a book out. What should they go to check out what we're talking about here?
Yeah, well, checktheevidence.com is my website. There's loads of stuff on there, but you'll find a link to the book, which is called 9/11 Finding the Truth. And you know, we've come to sort of describe these books as Dr. Judy Wood has reverse engineered how the World Trade Center was destroyed on 9/11, and I've kind of reverse engineered the cover up, which, you know, we're looking at a sort of a small window of here with this architects group. The way that the cover up works is not perhaps like most people think. You know, so I think if you look at the both these books, you'll find it kind of changes the way that you think. This is what people have said to me, and you become actually more skeptical, and skeptical in the truest sense of the word, in that you know, you learn to look at what the evidence really shows you and where it takes you, rather than just being led by the nose by some other group, even though the group may seem well-intentioned. It often isn't.
Okay, let me get a little time in here for Dr. Judy Wood. You went over to England and Italy, and between the two of you, the remaining time, about 7 minutes here and three more, what's the reception in England? Are those people in England more receptive or not receptive to critical thinking to Americans? Can you give us an overview here in about 10 minutes?
Yeah, it was rather amazing. I was totally shocked. The first, Andrew, pardon me?
No, we're not taking any callers.
Someone, you know, had invited us to Italy, and I was going there, and then I decided it was cheaper to stop off in London and then go from London to Italy. And after I decided to do that, Andrew kindly set up various talks, and more got added as the trip went along. And the first time I walked into this room full of people and gave a presentation, I was expecting, you know, half of them to bring rotten tomatoes and throw them, because that's probably what would happen in the U.S. And no one did. And it was just a total shock to me. Not only that, they felt, you know, honored to be there. And we're taking the information in the first presentation. One fellow was taking notes, and it was stuff I hadn't really talked much about before. And when he wrote up an article about it, he had all of this new information that he had processed and taken in. And that was astounding, that he correctly taken in. Like I was talking about the seismic thing, more details about that. But each place that I spoke at, and it wasn't just you know, people who had come to a 9/11 presentation. There was someone I spoke with on the ferry. We got to talking, like, why are you here? And I'm telling her. And then pretty soon out comes my book, and she was just delighted that finally somebody has some answers, because she said, I've been wondering all this time where all the material went. And I found that so many places, and I don't think I would see that so much in the United States. It's more of, well, if we didn't see it on TV, that it can't be true.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's more independent thinking. Even if they don't share it openly, the wheels are turning in their heads in the correct direction.
I think, you know, the situation here is that there is probably a greater amount of independent thought, but it's still, you know, it's still a sort of small percentage of the population, because we have mass media here too. It works somewhat differently to the US, and there is perhaps a little bit more leeway for, you know, more thinking and more kind of challenging of established views. And there's a strong Protestant culture here, for example, and has been for hundreds of years. And I was talking to Dr. Judy about this, and I think that's got something to do with it. But nevertheless, you know, things aren't hugely different here. And I think some of the groups that we went to already had kind of been they'd already broken out of the box somewhat. And so that was part of it. But as Dr. Judy said, some of these people that she encountered weren't actually at the meetings, they were elsewhere, and so, you know, this was totally independent of this. So yeah, and we certainly had a very good time, and I regard it as quite a successful trip overall. And you know, we paid our expenses up front, and then were reimbursed, and we pretty much covered those expenses. So that was great.
Yeah, and several people at each of the talks would say, you know, comments like, "Wow, what you say has almost no relationship to what they say you say." Now, speaking of the truthers.
Right, and this goes back exactly to what we were discussing a few minutes ago with regard to, you know, you can see that the job of architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth seems to be to present this information in a certain way and make it sound as if something has been said when actually it hasn't, which, of course, is it not disinformation? So it really, you know, really shows you how successful. I mean, you know, most of this information that Dr. Wood has revealed, the sort of key factors were put into the public domain at least 3 years ago. Some of it was 5 years ago. Some of it was longer.
Was so it 2006? Yeah.
Right. So, and some of it even before that. You know, when you had the Tripod website, that was even before 2006.
Right.
So, you know, we've got a long history here, really, which people are totally unaware of. And so I think we are seeing something of an undercurrent building up now. That's the way I like to describe it. And again, we, you know, we thank Ralph here for his wonderful sort of work in helping us to keep this awareness building. You know, so thanks again, go to Ralph.
Yes, very much. And if nothing else to remember or to realize is that the truth is known and knowable.
Right.
And it seems. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that idea is often, you know, you get involved with the conspiracy movement or the alternative knowledge movement, or whatever you want to call it, and it's almost like, oh, well, actually, this is all speculation. We can't know anything. It could be this or it could be that. We will never really know. And that type of thought process is often encouraged, you know, to say, well, we'll never really know. And you see these comments on forums and people say it. But in this case, we could say that we do know what happened, and we do know an extent of how it happened as well.
We got somebody just called in that we all know here, Jerry Leapart. Why don't we give him just a quick minute here?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Judy, Andrew, Abe. I've really enjoyed this evening's program, coming as it does after the, I'll call it the European tour that Dr. Wood had in connection with the interest that her book is generating. And I think there are going to be more such tours of that nature, you know, coming up. But in just 30 seconds, I do want to just reiterate what I might call Jerry Leapart's epistle about the way in which we comment on the work done by others, you know, Gage, Jones, whomever. And that is to say that the primary problem is not that there are others out there who, you know, are making claims that may or may not be accurate. The problem is that there has not ever been a properly conducted, publicly funded determination of what happened on 9/11, let alone who did it. And in the absence...
Hold on just a minute, Jerry. We'll let you finish as soon as you come back. Okay, well, we're back here, and Jerry Leapart, he was the attorney for Dr. Judy Wood. You want to finish your thought there?
And during the break, I just want to let you know that Judy, Andrew, and I, you know, caught up a little bit and had a great conversation about the difference between, on the one hand, you know, criticizing the work done by others, the approach taken by others, versus the very real need to make sure that there is a clear record, you know, out there. And Judy and Andrew both reminded me that, you know, they're not taking on the role of, you know, being critic to these others, but rather where there is disinformation or inaccuracy, then it is incumbent upon those who have done the kind of work that Judy and Andrew, that Dr. Wood and Andrew Johnson have done, to make sure that that work gets known and gets heard so that people can have access to accurate information. And we should all commend them for doing so, Ralph. So thanks for you know, letting me on. It's a great show, and as I said, awfully good to be in touch with Dr. Wood and Andrew Johnson.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Jerry, and that point of view there, which is good, because the bottom line is to get the truth out there. And you know, from my perspective, I don't like people that are putting out disinformation. We need the truth. So anyway, Dr. Wood or Andrew, you close out. Got about 2 minutes here.
First, what I'd like to say is, in what I told some folks when I was in England, is that the truth is unifying. If you're looking for the truth, and you know, there's no dispute. And so it's very much unifying, and it also puts an end to debating and arguing and so forth if you're just looking for the truth.
Well, the truth is always the truth, and a million lies always leads to a reality that you can never arrive at an end point.
Right, right.
Go ahead,
you know, I just wanted to say, you know, in what I've done, I don't really want to act as a policeman in all of this. But, you know, if somebody is clearly misrepresenting what you've said or what you know somebody you're closely associated with has said, if you know that they're being misrepresented regularly, then that has to be documented, because otherwise, and you have to explain why, in simple terms, why this other person is being misrepresented. And it's not done in a vindictive sense. It's done as a way of keeping the pathway clear for people to find the truth, and that's really what my book is about, and that's what it's meant to do. And I've had some good feedback from that, and very little negative feedback. So yeah, you know, I take what Jerry Lee Part was saying, but you know, I think there is a need to document what's been going on.
Right, and as Martin Luther King said, the time comes when silence is betrayal, and sometimes silence implies complicity.
Right.
So,
I would agree. And let's not forget, where did the towersgo.com, all one word, or drjudywood.com, where you can purchase the book. Check theevidence.com, and that's for Andrew's site, and he has a book available also.
And there's also, for people that want to find out more about what happened in UK and Italy, I've written a page about that with some links to various videos and so on that people can access, and that's also in the right-hand column on the homepage. So, again, people can go there if they want to follow it up and see what the reaction was.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Wood and Andrew Johnson.
Thanks.
Okay, and as always, close out. Watch out for the federalies. They're everywhere, and we'll see you next Sunday. Stay safe.